Hey friends, and welcome to It's Better When You're Here podcast. My name is Pastor Michael, and I get to be the pastor of Shepherd's Community United Methodist Church, one church at two locations in Central Florida. This is the sermon that we preach this week. I hope that the message inspires you and encourages you and reminds you that God loves you. All right, here's the message.
Then Pilate handed Jesus over to be crucified. Soldiers took Jesus prisoner. Carrying his cross by himself, he went out to a place called Skull Place in Aramaic, Golgotha. That's where they crucified him, and two others with him. One on each side and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a public notice written and posted on the cross. It read, "Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read the sign, and the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. Therefore, the Jewish priests, the chief priests, complained to Pilate, "Don't write the King of the Jews, but this man said, 'I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I've written, I've written." When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and his sandals and divided them into four shares, one for each soldier. His shirt was seamless, woven as one piece from the top to the bottom. They said to each other, "Let's not tear it. Let's cast lots to see who will get it." This was to fulfill the scripture. "They divided my clothes among themselves, and they cast lots for my clothing." That's what the soldiers did. Jesus's mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene stood near the cross. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing there nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. After this, knowing that everything was already completed, in order to fulfill the scripture, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was nearby. So the soldiers soaked a sponge in it, placed it on a hyssop branch, and held it to his lips. Then he received the sour wine. Jesus said, "It is completed." Bowing his head, he gave up his life. The joy of my life is to be, as a friend once called me, confetti, but for Jesus. I love being confetti for Jesus. There's always a mess whenever I leave a room. I love being the joy. I love being the light. I love bringing that space to the people of God. And Good Friday calls me to put that aside. Tonight is not like any other night or any other worship service. Tonight, in order to fully know the joy of Easter, we sit in the sorrow of Good Friday. Friends, the thing I want you to hear tonight, may we never forget that God's love is free, but it is not cheap. So when I was a kid, Good Friday was about guilt. It seemed like about an hour service where the pastor had about an hour to convince me that it was my personal fault that Jesus died on the cross. You know, it happened a couple of years before I was born. I've never swung a hammer in anger. You know, I've never done any of those things, but that's what the preacher needed to convince me. But friends, if you can hear this, I hope you hear this. You didn't kill Jesus, the state did. If you read all of the accounts of Jesus's crucifixion, you understand that a conflagration of religious leaders and state officials worked very hard together to put a man on the cross who had done nothing wrong. And friends, you, though the hymn is beautiful, were not there. So if you carry any guilt for the crucifixion of Jesus, I want you to lay that here. And the reason why is because making all of us personally responsible for Jesus's death forces us to forget the love that made it possible. It is a useful preaching tool. It is a useful bit of even advertising to say that we are responsible for Jesus's death on the cross. And friends, make no mistake, Jesus died for the purpose, and that was to cover up the sins that we commit, that we carry, that we bring into this world. Don't get that part wrong or missed. But, and so vitally, It is not our personal responsibility. It is instead because of God's great love and God's great grace. May we never forget that God's love is free, but it is not cheap. I want you to hear tonight that sin leads to death. Genesis 3, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 says this: "The snake was the most intelligent of all the wild animals that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say that you shouldn't eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the snake, 'We may eat the fruit of the garden's trees, but not the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden.' God said, 'Don't eat from it and don't touch it, or you will die.' The snake said to the woman, 'You won't die. God knows that on the day you eat from it, you will see clearly and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" Now, this verse is so interesting. I've been on this earth for 37 years. I've never talked to a snake. I have learned from this Bible verse that if he tells me anything, I'm not going to believe him. But this snake is telling us something that isn't necessarily completely a lie. Now, we won't die right away if we eat of that fruit. Here we all are living through that. And we will become a bit like God. But what's important for us to know, friends, is that this sin of eating the fruit, the sin that has followed after it, that is what leads to death. It has made us a bit like God, knowing the difference between good and evil. Ultimately, friends, our sin, what gets between us and God, is our attempt to do God's job. In the Garden of Eden, God made everything just perfect, just right for all of us to live in peace. All we simply had to do was to let God be God and let us be God's children. And the fruit and the snake and our greed and our desire to be like God or to take God's job ruined all of that. Human beings do many lovely things, but we are terrible gods. We are terrible gods. Whenever we sin, whenever we do something that's out of the step that God has for us, I want you to not see it as your force putting Jesus onto the cross, but rather your feet walking away from God's great love. I love Genesis 3:8. It says this it's in Genesis. And it says, "In the cool of the day, God went to walk with the humans." What I love about this passage is I don't know much about God's body, but if I'm the God of the universe, I will stop being affected by temperature. Friends, we are coming into the time where it's getting hotter and more humid, and we wonder why we're here, and we wonder why we're not somewhere a bit drier, maybe a bit cooler, right? The mountains, I've heard, you know, they get down into cooler temperatures. We're about to be sweaty, all of us, friends. And come and serve at the Easter egg hunt tomorrow. You too can be sweaty, right? But God comes into the garden to be with the people in the cool of the day, not because God needs the cool of the day, but because we do, friends. Human beings need that. God desires to walk with us, and our sin is us walking away. May we never forget that God's love is free, but it is not cheap. Romans says this in Romans 6:23, "The wages that sin pays are death, but God's gift is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord." I used to think it was physical death, but it's so much more. Let us on this Good Friday come face to face with the weight of sin. Not for guilt's sake, but for freedom. May we never forget that God's love is free, but it is not cheap. What do I mean by cheap? When I was in college, I was going off for my first big boy job. I was an intern in a youth ministry. Not really a big boy job, but it felt like one to me. And a friend of mine, wanting to send me off well, went to a thrift store to buy some clothes for me so I could dress like a grown-up. You might know where this story is going. And they came with a black trash bag full of clothes and said they were doing a by the weight sale. And so I got you 10 pounds of clothes. I open the bag. Yes, exactly. I open the bag and believe it or not, not one item in that bag fit, was good, or was professional. And so I kept it in the bag, I tied it back up, and I took it to the same exact thrift store because those things were very cheap. They weren't going to help me. Cheap grace, to believe in cheap grace is to allow sin to write your story. I love my faith that we have been able to cultivate together. In this season of Lent, we've been talking about deconstruction and reconstruction, looking at what it means to let go of the things that we were taught. Like in my youth, the Good Friday was an hour-long attempt for the pastor to convince me that I was the one that put Jesus on the cross. I get to forget those things, but you know what I get to pick up instead? I get to understand that God's grace is there for a reason. That my sin is separating me from my siblings in the world, but it's also separating me from God. That when I succumb to that desire to do God's job, I am walking away and I'm letting sin write the story of my life. You see, to know the cost of grace is to let love write your story. You may have noticed, for those keeping track at home, I'm wearing something I don't normally wear. This stole actually tells the story of Good Friday. Christ carries his cross and ends up on the cross. And you might have also seen that bits of the altar have been changing throughout the service. I blew out some candles. I took this cross and I put it behind the kneeling rail. You'll see that the cross here has a black drape on it. These are things that are not normal. This is not a normal service. But as we come to the end, instead of receiving a benediction, which is a blessing as we go, I will pray for us. And instead of the band playing that last song on reprise or there being house music, we will exit in silence. In just a moment, I'm going to lay my stole here on the Christ candle. And I'm going to leave that there. This thing that tells the story of Jesus is going to get left behind. Good Friday, you see, friends, is a reminder of the wages of sin, our death. So every aspect of this worship service is trying to show us, trying to convince us that there is a new way for us to live by reminding us of how we are right now. Tonight, I don't have any action other than this. Let us not pretend this life of grace is cheap. How then do we pretend as if grace is cheap? Well, we pretend grace is cheap by not trying to see change in our lives. By falling back on God's forgiveness again and again, instead of choosing freedom, instead of choosing new life, we choose death again and again and again. Let tonight be the time that we decide to choose something different. Not for guilt's sake, not because of what my preacher taught me when I was a kid, but instead because of love. Let us know how deep the Father's love is for us. Let us carry this love in our hearts. Let us remember that as the outside world gets a bit darker, 2,000 years ago, all of the light in the world was snuffed out, but only for such a short little while. And then love burst onto the scene. But let's not move ahead. Let us sit in this moment. Don't let me get confetti on you. Let us sit in this moment. Let us rest in this reality that if we allow sin to write our story, love cannot get in. Let us know how deep the Father's love is for us. Will you pray with me?
Hey friends, thank you so much for joining us this week. I hope that this message connected with you and inspired you. Please reach out to us on social media or through our website. We would love to know if this is your church family. If this message meant something to you, please share it with someone that you know or you love, or share it on social media. We know that it would be so much better with you here, so much better with the whole world, knowing of God's great love for all of us. Have a great week. Be blessed.